T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good morning, everyone, and what a beautiful morning it is. This is like a loop. I could just record this every single Saturday because it has been that kind of weather. Hope you're having a great weekend. And this is your place to talk sports, as you know it. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Call 412-928-9370. Logan Arbelaster is behind the glass. I'll be here until 1 o'clock taking your calls, and then later today I'll rejoin you at 4:30 for the Pitt pregame show as we get you set for Pitt and Syracuse tonight. So much to talk about, so little time. But this is your place to sound off. Love to take phone calls and love to talk to you out there. Want you to know the Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the Fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Again, 412-928-9370 is that number to call. And I want to begin today not going immediately into football because of what happened last night. Because we saw something that I think you'll never see again. We saw something that you had never, ever seen before. And this, to me, was the greatest single-game postseason playoff performance of all time of any sport. Shohei Ohtani, which is incredible what he did last night. Normally, to go out and pitch 6 shutout innings and strike out 10 batters, I mean, that's a lot of work for one pitcher to do. Only 26 players in the history of Major League Baseball have done that. All right, let's start there. But then if you add on top of that, only 12 hitters have ever hit 3 home runs in one postseason game. Think about that. 12 hitters only, 3 home runs in a game since 1903. Only 26 pitchers ever went 6 scoreless, 10 strikeouts, 2 or less hits. Shohei Ohtani did both in the same game. I mean, it's ridiculous. 3,279 postseason games have been played since 1903, and never have we seen any of this. But we saw it last night. And that's one of the questions I want to bring up. Is this the best postseason playoff performance you've ever seen in any sport? You know, I know people will bring up, I think, Will Chamberlain's 100-point effort has to be considered in there. There are several others. Gale Sayers in his very first game, 6 rushing touchdowns. You can go, if you want to go Olympics, talk to me about Jesse Owens. 4 gold medals, and I believe it was 4 in like 8 events in the Olympic Games in 1930-something. I forget the year. But to me, this was the best of all time. You just can't put it into words, really. Babe Ruth did the same thing, but he did not do it the way Ohtani has done it. Babe Ruth did not spend as much time hitting or pitching collectively as Shohei Ohtani has done it. So LA goes on and wins and makes it look easy against the Milwaukee team, sweeping them in four games, winning last night 5-1. Ohtani is the MVP, and rightfully so. And I said last night on social media that you may as well just give him the MVP every single year. I don't think anyone else will be able to do what he's done. Now, because of that, he won't win it every single year because people get tired of giving him the same vote. But I'd be curious to find out what you think about that performance in the best of all time. And then we go to one of the worst defensive performances that we've seen from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we've seen a few over the years, but this one certainly is one that you got to just shake your head. And the reason you shake your head is because, did I expect the Steelers to score on Cincinnati? Yes, I did. Cincinnati's defense has given up tons of points all season long. Aaron Rodgers is playing some really inspired football. Four touchdown passes in this game. And so you figure they're going to score in the 30s just because of the way they were playing and because of Cincinnati's defense without its best player. Actually, you can say maybe two. Taylor Britt was also out, so that's two of their best players on a defense that has been horrific with them in it. So that was something I expected. What I did not expect is what I saw schematically or individual effort-wise with the Steelers' defense. Consider that Cincinnati came into this game, five games prior to it, with zero runs of 14-plus yards. Not one. They were one of the worst teams in rushing the football. Zero runs of 14-plus yards. And in that game on Thursday night, Chase Brown by himself had two of the biggest, 27 and 37. He averaged 9.8 yards per carry against the Steelers' run defense, which has made it very clear that's how they want to start games, shutting down runs. And they did it the last couple of games. Here's what they also did in the last couple of games prior to this one. They also came after the quarterback. They did it against Carson Wentz, and yes, he's a backup, but they sacked him five times. They pressured him 14 times. And then, yes, another backup against Cleveland. Dylan Gabriel hit 16 times, sacked six times, was on the run all night. So you would figure that that same strategy would work for Joe Flacco. Yes, I know he's Joe Flacco. Yes, I know he's been around just like Carson Wentz has been around. And yes, he can pass the football when you allow it. And yet they had minimal pressure on him. And I think they really bought into the fact that those guys they brought in the offseason, and that would be Darius Slay, Jalen Ramsey, Deshaun Elliott, and all the people they put in that secondary, they believed they were capable of handling any receiver in the secondary if they zoned it, and they did a lot of different things. I will say that. They tried different things, but none of it worked. And so not only did you see Chase get all the yards he can get, but 23 targets in one game is ridiculous. 16 catches, most he's ever had in one game. And yet you knew going into this that Ja'Marr Chase was going to be the biggest thing that Cincinnati had. And they're going to try to get him in football, no question. Now, I realize that Joe Flacco and the state of their offensive line, which was not good, were going to get rid of the ball quickly. But because of that, you had to figure that slant patterns were going to be something that they would see a lot of. And yet the Steelers could not stop it time and time again. And they allowed so much going on in that game to an offense that had really struggled. And yes, it's a backup quarterback. Yes, it's a quarterback who just got there like 7 days ago, whatever the case may be. And I would have gone after him every possibility I could have done. I really would have. If you really trusted the guys you brought in, the elite corners in Slay and Ramsey, then you should have done it. You should have gone after him. You should have blitzed more. I found it interesting that Herbick got only, I think, 39 snaps in that game, which is not enough the way he had been playing. And what made it all worse after it was all said and done is Ja'Marr Chase, after the game, came out and pretty much said they knew exactly what was going on, which is stunning to me. So when you know what's coming and you know how to deal with it, it makes it a little easier, especially for elite receivers like they have. I just did not see Cincinnati scoring 33 points. I thought the Steelers would in the 30s, and that's why I picked them to win, but I did not see that. What about you at 412-928-9370? Want to get into that with you and also get into the college football situation now that Pitt is 2-0 under Mason Heinschel, and he'll be in Syracuse tonight. We'll talk more about that, as I said, on the preview show coming up at 4:30 when Doran Dickerson joins me. Johnny Patrician joins me, and we hope you listen to that prior to the national or the network pregame show, which comes on at 5:30. Pitt's favored to beat Syracuse, and they should. Last night, Louisville pulled a little stunner as they beat number two Miami, and all these quarterbacks that we raved about at the beginning of the season who could be number one picks, top 10 picks, they're all underachieving, at least statistically. And Carson Beck is another one. He was intercepted four times. Never in his career had he been intercepted four times. And he was last night. 24-21, Louisville wins that game. So Pitt's on a little bit of a roll here. And then Penn State fires its head coach, James Franklin. I didn't think that was not going to happen. I thought it would happen the way things are gone. But I didn't think it would happen when it happened. But it did. Back-to-back losses against teams that were 20-point underdogs. I mean, it's pretty crazy that they could do that, but they did. And I go back to that Oregon game. They had them down in overtime at home. And if they had won that game, I'm just curious how this would have played out. But it didn't. On top of that, Drew Aller is out. Terry Smith is the head coach. Interim. I'm going to play a little game with what if you call here at 412-928-9037. What if Terry Smith goes into Iowa and wins tonight? They're not expected to do that with a backup quarterback. And what if he wins one of the next two, either against Ohio State or Indiana? Does he make a case that maybe he should be their head coach moving forward? Or, those of you who like Matt Rhule, just check out what happened last night when Minnesota beat them badly. And he's not good when he's facing better competitions. But he seems to be the guy they seem to be focusing on. 412-928-9370. Let's get to the phone lines. Logan, we have a lot of them. And we'll begin with Rich, who's on line one. Hello, Rich. How are you?
Hey, Bob. Weekly Pirate rant. I'm calling to mea culpa. You said the Pirates would retain Ben Cherington, and I took the opposite position. And
I said they shouldn't, but they did. I predicted they would, yes.
Yeah, well, no. I think your comment was what will happen, whether or not it should or shouldn't.
Yeah.
You said they won't, and you knew their DNA better than I did. So I owe you a quarter, and... I'll get it to you when I can. Shohei Ohtani is one of about three or four players in major league sports that I would pay to watch play. I would pay the inflated ticket price to get in if I knew for certain the guy was going to play. I think he makes it look so effortless. And then with respect to the Steelers, they're going to still end up 9-8 or whatever it is to retain this this record for the head coach. They're just so perplexing to me, and they're another team that needs to turn the page. Circling back to the Pirates, I think the Pirates are going to have a problem with their small payroll and trying to pull rabbits out of the hat, and this impression or this image that they like to portray that they have too much pitching. I don't think that's really ever going to be the case with them. But again, apologize for disagreeing with you.
No, you have every right to do what you got. I suspected what I suspected, and you know, now here they are, and we'll see. And so far, they haven't done much. And I know it's early in this, you know, off season for them, but they better start doing something. And with regard to Ohtani, he's already made back to the Dodgers the $700 million they invested in him over a deferred contract. With all the global media they have in Japan, throughout the world, he's already made it back. So it's a smart business decision by them to sign him for $700 million, but it does underscore to me the need for a floor and a cap, because if this is going to continue and all, and you know, what is that pitching staff going to look like, Rich, when Paul Skeens joins it?
Well, my thing with the Pirates is, and this is where I actually feel like I have some expertise in talking. Every prediction I've made since the Chris Archer trade has been true. Okay, so I think I should be their general manager. I'll do it for free because I think I don't think it's a serious position for this team. But to your point about Ohtani, if somebody needs to demonstrate to that job that you can actually invest in a player and in a net positive way, it benefits your team financially as well as in the wins department. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy's doing third grade math while he's running a major league sports team. And that's been my gripe about him all along. First of all, I don't believe what he's saying. Second of all, I think if he were to be audited, you would find that in the course of this, the value of this team going up, 25 times since he bought it, that he's not even keeping pace with inflation for the salaries that he pays his team. He to me is just the biggest enigma in sports globally. I just don't get this guy. But again, I tip my hat to you because you know their DNA better than I. It just makes no sense to me that Jarrington's still at the helm. But
all right, Rich, appreciate the call, and I agree with that. Thank you. I agree with that sentiment that, you know, if you invest in a player and it's a generational type player, you'll make money back. You absolutely should make money back. Now, Ohtani goes global because of where he's from and the following they have, which is crazy in Japan. I mean, they love baseball over there. So they knew what they were doing with that, and they deferred it, which gives them the wiggle room to add even more, you know, payroll to their – they listen to all the guys they have under payroll. Mookie Betts is making over $300 million in a long-term package. Freddie Freeman's in the $200 million range. Then you have Yamamoto, over $300 million. You have Ohtani, $700 million. You go around there, the rest of their team, and you'll find Will Smith is about to get a big one. And they just, there's no limits to what their spending is, and that's why something has to change from that regard. Moving right along at 412-928-9370, we've got Ed, who joins us here in Pittsburgh. What's up, Ed?
Here I am. Hey, Bob. Hey, I'm from Cleveland.
Oh, from Cleveland, boy.
Let me speak for a minute.
I know why you're calling.
Yeah, I'm so happy that they traded Flacco. And you know why they lost that game?
Why?
Remember when Tomlin said how Barry was smarter than everybody?
Yeah, he was saying that facetiously.
Yeah, I know, but that's why they lost that game. He was in their head. Was Flacco the reason they gave up all those yards receiving, those guys running wide open? They gave up 160 yards to the worst rushing offense in the league. Is that why they lost the game?
Well, I think there's no question that their affinity for Joe Flacco was something that played in this, Ed. I mean, the fact is, you can respect players all you want, and you should. I mean, Joe Flacco's put up here, but you cannot allow a guy who really cannot run the way he used to run. Same as with Rodgers. I'm sure every team in the league would love to get in Rodgers' face, and that's the challenge that we've been talking about all year with the offensive line and some of the extra protection in there for Aaron Rodgers. Well, the same holds true for them in Cincinnati, and their offensive line has had all sorts of problems. And yet the Steelers, it didn't seem like they really wanted to go after him. Like they were, you know, were trying to flood the zone. Well, you're playing right into Joe Flacco's hands, in my view.
Right.
Because he's good at picking. He'll pick you apart. I remember last year at the goal line, the play against Dallas. Well, you know, I know the goal line is a very crowded sample in there. There's not a lot of wiggle room. So the Steelers, on the basically last play of the game, allowed Dak Prescott to sit back there and just wait till someone broke open. And eventually somebody does. The only way you stop that is by putting pressure, I think. But they didn't do enough of it in that game.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think they lost that game when Tomlin, they got in there, Tomlin's head. You know, we got Flacco, a 40-year-old guy, you know, just like Rodgers.
Yeah, the Thursday night thing is real, too. For whatever reason, thanks, Ed, I appreciate the call. But I would.
Thank you, Bob.
Yes, sir. This Thursday night, and it's not just the Steelers. In division, all these teams have horrible records on Thursday. Another reason why I don't like Thursday night football. I just don't think they're trying to globalize this game. They're trying to make it available on 7 nights a week. And in doing so, you're making the product a little bit worse. Although that game was entertaining, most of them aren't on Thursday night. Let's go out to DiNardo, who joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Big D? DiNardo.
Hello?
Go ahead, sir. You're on.
This is Gus, Bob. It's a hockey night in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay. It says Denard. Is that your last name, Gus? I didn't even know that.
No. Hey, Bob, real quick. This grass situation down at Acrisure. Many years ago when a stadium was first built, I read an in-depth article on the underneath foundation of Heinz Field, or of Acrisure now. Are people aware there are 16 inches of sand beneath a layer of topsoil? The Rooneys know they own a sod farm. So the field has been resodded like 32 times in the last 23 years. Here's my point. Sod cannot grow properly when there's 16 inches of sand beneath the topsoil. The reason for the sand is there is a 3 or 4 mile layout of glycol pipe to heat the field. In my opinion, we shouldn't be worrying about heating a field in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The sand is not necessary. They should have, like everyone else, get some good topsoil in there, take that sand out, let this sod grow properly. If they need some help, bring the people from Penn State down here. They have a whole college that specializes in growing
grass. The people of Penn State are certainly grass gurus. I don't know enough about what goes on. I do know it's pretty regular for those fields around the country that have the same situation that they do resod them more than once. But you're mostly a Penguin fan, and I want to get your take because I believe the Penguins are going to be a competitive team this year. I said that at the beginning of the season because I liked first of all, I like what Dan Muse is preaching over there, and for some reason it seems to be buying in, at least to start. They're 3-2. They just came off a come-from-behind win against the Kings. Are you bullish on them? Not to win anything, but just to be a good team all the way until the end and maybe, just maybe, get a playoff spot.
Well, Bob, I remember you a few weeks ago. You gave a shout-out to the Kings, and I think the Kings are a very talented team over there in the West. I'm very pleasantly surprised with what I see thus far, how the Penguins are playing. There's a nice mix of young kids there with veterans. If the goaltending could continue to improve, and if they continue to show the structure they're playing with, the discipline they're showing, there's some very positive signs there. And I think, you know, we're a borderline hockey playoff hockey team right now if things keep progressing.
No question. Thanks very much, Gus. I appreciate that. And they got the San Jose Sharks tonight who are winless yet. So that's on the road. And we may see Alex Nedeljkovic for the Sharks in goal for them. One more call before a break. We have a lot of people on, so I'll get to you eventually. This is Will who joins us on line four. Hello, Will.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Hey, one quick question, one statement. God rest his soul. Do you think that, I know I said the standard is a standard. Do you think the standard as it was died with Dan Rooney?
Well, you know, all I know is that Dan Rooney, I think, did things that maybe today this administration would not do as frequently as he did it. But no, I still think their standard is what it is. They haven't met the standard. That's the problem. They still... anything they do, Will, is designed to win. I think if you looked at this past season before it began, the offseason, many people didn't think the Steelers would be in a position to do much. They were looking for a new quarterback. You know, that most people predicted to be a down year. They instead went out and spent a lot of money trying to make it better and trying to win. So their standard's still the standard. It's just it hasn't been met. So therefore, they have been substandard in their pursuit of the standard. And that's where they are. But I still think the primary goals of that organization remain the same. It's just that they haven't done enough with it.
I appreciate that. And last thing before I go, the whole Andrew Berry thing with Mike Tomlin, I thought it was actually very ironic that he said that he thought Andrew Berry was smarter than everybody else. But I think Tomlin thinks he's smarter than everybody else because obviously it's an offensive league and he's so focused on defense this and putting his defense out there to win the game and feel like he's trying to win games, you know, by 3 points or 4 points. Like, I think he's trying to zig when the entire league is zagging and not realizing that's why he has his lack of success that he does. Like, look at Philadelphia or Kansas City or any of these teams that aren't as focused on defense, but still, like, somewhat, but it's all offense. But he just doesn't seem like he either doesn't want to realize that or doesn't want to accept that. Like, it's his way or the highway.
Well, and thanks for the call, Will. Up against the break here, I appreciate your sentiment there. I still think the teams you mentioned have very good defenses. I think Steve Spagnuolo is very good at it. Kansas City wouldn't win the way they win without defense. But to your further point, yes, offense, I mean, this is an offensive league. And they scored a lot of points the other night. They should have won a game. Their defense let them down. I think they overthink themselves on defense. I think there has to be, and they in this game specifically, man, they were swapping out guys left and right. In the safety position, I think you got to figure out who are your best guys and leave them out there. You know, if you keep moving things around and flip-flopping guys here and there, I don't know that it has a good enough result on your secondary. They somebody has to play out there all the time. They were moving Thornhill there, Ramsey at times back there. They had Clark in there critical times of the games, and I don't think he's one of their best in there, but he got his share of snaps in there, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's Peyton Wilson wasn't on the field, I don't think, for the last drive. Instead, it was Cole Holcomb. Nothing against him, but I thought Peyton Wilson was the guy that you were doing. So I think they're outsmarting themselves at some point. And again, scheme matters in these games. My scheme would have been to go after Joe Flacco. And if I did, and if I put a lot of pressure on him and he still completed passes to Jamar Chase for 23 targets on 16 receptions, so be it. But the Cincinnati knew, and Jay said it, they knew what they were doing. That's the second time we've heard someone say that, where other offenses knew exactly what the Steelers were going to do. And if that's true, that's a terrible sign for schematics and coaching preparation. But that's what we've heard. So, you know, the bottom line is they got to win those games. And now they're faced with a schedule that gets a little bit more daunting. And while I still think the Steelers are in control of this, you know, we could be sitting here next week at this time or next Sunday and say, wow, that was an impressive performance against Green Bay. And they, you know, they took Miles Garrett. Who's the guy from Dallas?
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons. They took him out of the game and they made Jordan Love look average. You know, they could respond, and they seemed to do better on Sunday night. So this whole conversation could flip, and it goes week to week. This is a reaction business, and the reaction after this one was not good, and it shouldn't be, because they should have won that game. Cincinnati had all sorts of reasons to use as excuses not to win it, and they came out instead and beat the Steelers 33-31. We'll talk more about that at 412-928-9370, the Ohtani situation. Do you think that's the best single-game performance you've ever seen in any sport at any time? Because I do. Let me hear what you think about that. Pitt, Penn State, anything else you want to talk about, please call at 412-928-9370. Mark, Bob, Kevin, Anthony, you're coming up next right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
All right, it's going to be an irregular Sunday when there's no Steelers football on. You had a bunch of games starting at 9:30 in the morning out in London. One of those games as well. And then a bunch of games that, to me, aren't that intriguing throughout the course of the day. But the Steelers find themselves 4-2, and then they begin a part of their schedule that really will increase, beginning with Green Bay and then the Indianapolis Colts, who right now are playing at a very high level, albeit they've beat teams really that you would have expected them to beat based on how they're playing. Everything ratchets up. So I want to hear from you about what you see in the future here in these next coming games, and also look back at that performance against Cincinnati. On top of that, Syracuse, Pitt tonight, 7:30 at the Dome. And, you know, Syracuse is a team that doesn't have its quarterback. Pitt is favored to win, and they should. But if this continues, how far do you think they can go? And what to me now looks like a wide-open ACC. Miami lost last night to Louisville. Louisville beat Pitt. They had to come from behind to do it. You can make the case that Pitt should be involved in all of these games and potentially could win them all. I'd like to hear what you think. Is that a realistic expectation for a true freshman, a quarterback who looks so much beyond his years? He's very poised in what he does. He's very confident in what he does. And he's a guy who I think is going to have to be dealt with. Going to Florida State the way he did and playing well in front of that crowd and knowing that it was a hostile place, and he looked extremely poised. Again, 21 of 29, over 300 yards. He also added almost 80 yards in rushing. Every time he knows that he has to get out of there, he does. Again, to watch a true freshman do it is pretty spectacular. And what will Penn State do? Now, James Franklin was just on the College Game Day broadcast. He sat there, and he sat and listened to where Nick Saban came to his aid. Like, I totally expect Nick Saban to do. And didn't like the treatment that Franklin received at Penn State. But he's going to be looking for a new program. And I play a what-if game here, too. What if Terry Smith, as the interim, re-energizes this team with a backup quarterback? And just say, what if, again, I don't expect this, but what if they win two of the next three and one of them is against Ohio State? Should he get the opportunity to be the head coach moving forward? 412-928-9370. We're going to go down to line six. We got Anthony in Oakland who joins us right now. Anthony, you're on. What's up?
Bob, I'm going to repeat what Aaron Rodgers said a couple years ago in Green Bay when things were looked like they were falling apart. And he said it the other day, relax. It's a long season. You know what, Bob? You and I have been watching Steelers football for a very long time. And they've done poorly on that Thursday night game back to Chuck Knoll. Can you remember in 83 when they went out there on the Thanksgiving and got Billy Sims ran for close to 200 yards on them?
That was a big night for
Sims.
They got
shut out 30 to nothing. Yeah. I mean, and then that Cowboy game they played, I think it was in 91, where Neil O'Donnell was playing so poorly, Chuck Knoll wanted to put in Bubby Brister. Bubby says, I don't believe anybody. You remember that?
I absolutely do.
I guess,
I understand what you're saying to me. I'm one of the people who preach wait to see that play out because it is a long season. Yeah. And next week, if they beat Green Bay and do it impressively like they've been prone to do on a Sunday night, the conversation and the narrative changes. But there's still a conversation to be had, Anthony, about how they schematically decided to play that Cincinnati offense with Joe Flacco at quarterback, because I thought it was the wrong approach. What was your take on what you saw?
It was horrible approach. But remember, Bob, they hit the best Monday night home winning streak of all time.
Yes.
They have not lost a Monday night game at home since 1991. So there's sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away. Let me just say this, Bob. Yes, defensively, they paid poorly. But last year, Cincinnati put 38 on them there also, if you remember. And what won that game last year in Cincinnati, the Steelers got the turnovers and Cincinnati didn't. That's how they beat them last year. They put up points on that Steelers defense last year also.
But this year they haven't been doing that without Joe Burrow, and that was with Joe Burrow.
Yeah, but this – look, Flacco throws, well, we always know that infamous ball. He's very concise with his passes. I knew it was going to be a fight to the finish because they've got some great players. I didn't think the Steelers would look so lethargic. That's what was painful, that with your stars, especially after Rodgers throws, Bob, that throw he made to Freiermuth, it looked like it was shot up on a Hollinger. I mean, that thing was absolute thing of beauty for a 41-year-old quarterback to hit him like that. He takes it all the way. That should have been the momentum for the defense to take over. And what was frustrating, and they're getting killed by the old Steeler team of defensive players, they're ripping them to shreds, because that should have been in their hip pocket after that, Bob.
Yeah, well, I will say this, though, Anthony, and you're right about Joe Flacco and what he's capable of doing, and this is by far the best two receivers he's ever had, I think. So he had that at his disposal, but he also had an offensive line that was not playing very well. And if you remember his first couple of games this year in Cleveland, he threw six interceptions.
Yes.
And he did not look like the same quarterback because he was under pressure quite a bit. People decided, because Cleveland doesn't have much else, they went after Joe Flacco. And I thought that would be the prime approach, especially after we saw it against Carson Wentz, the Vikings in Dublin. We saw it against Dylan Gabriel and the Browns. They made life miserable for those quarterbacks.
I don't know why Tomlin decided to do that, but I bet they won't do it again. When they see him again, because they know the frustration. And, you have to admit, though, the two turnovers were painful. And that was it. I mean, those turnovers were in Cincinnati's red zone. And that last play, I've just watched it again, Bob. That play to Higgins that sealed the game. Where was our safety? If you watch the safe on Metcalf, each time those turnovers came, there was a safety there.
Right.
There was no safety.
Well, you got to pick and choose when you have two guys, and normally I would choose to do that to Chase. I would not let Chase get 23 targets. I would not let him get 16 receptions. The good coaches always tell you to take away somebody. You have to take away somebody on a good offensive team. And you do that, and then
nobody.
No, I know they let too many. And I think again, it was the approach of just flooding it and letting Joe Flacco pick you apart. If he's very capable of doing that, if you give him time. So, Anthony, thanks for the call as always. I appreciate it. All right, good to hear from you. Let's go out to Bob in Pittsburgh. Joins us online too. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Robert. How you doing? It's Bob Friend.
Bobby, what's going on, man?
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, thank you. How did the event go? By the way.
Oh, the cow patty bingo. Cow patty bingo went great. We're going to probably raise about $15,000 for the Hannah Children's Free Care Fund.
Wonderful.
I greatly appreciate you allowing me to come on and publicize that.
Sure. I think it's a great event. Anytime for charity. I'm a big believer. People should donate and contribute to charities, and that's a great one.
Absolutely. So I'm going to be quick because I know you got a lot of callers. Number one, I want to talk briefly about the field. I know the Rooneys apparently they have a sod farm. They need to get a new source for this sod, because I can tell you, this is what I do know about grass. I ran Pikewood National Golf Club for 12 years, been on the grounds committee at Oakmont for over 20. Grass germinates when soil temperatures are above 53 degrees. If you take a look at the fall that we've had, the September and the October we have had, there is no reason on God's green earth that this turf should look like that right now, because the grass actually is still growing. And I just think they need to find another source. So that's my comment on the field. Number two, you talk about the great performances. First of all, what I saw last night with Ohtani is I have never seen anything like that before. But the guy is a freak. But if you go and you take a look at other performances, you talk about, have you seen a better, you know, one day performance? I think you have to take a look at two. Number one, 1986 Masters Jack Nicklaus at the age of 46. Had not won a golf tournament for 6 years, shoots 30 on the back nine to win the Masters in 1986 with a final round 65. That back nine, 30, also included a bogey on the 12th hole. The other thing that I'll say is this, and I'll be quiet and let you talk. If the 2000 performance of Tiger Woods at the U.S. Open is not considered the greatest performance by an athlete, I don't know what performance is, because he won the U.S. Open against a full field by 15 shots at Pebble Beach in 2000.
Yep.
And I'll be quiet and let you talk.
Listen, I was going to bring golf into this, but I also knew that a lot of people wouldn't recognize those. I'm glad you called for that. Absolutely. And if I had to choose between those two, I'd take probably 1986 Masters, just because of what you said on the back nine.
He was done. He was
and,
cooked.
And I mean, Tiger back then wasn't. Yeah. He was still getting in his prime, you know. But Masters, to see a guy at that age, and I was hoping that we would have seen the same with Tom Watson at the Open Championship.
Oh.
He had a great 8-iron into that hole, but it trickled over the green, and it just made it impossible for him to get up and down. So, all good, Tom.
If he would have won that in 2009 at the age of 59, that would have been the greatest story in the history of sports. But that's my two cents. It's always great listening to you. Love you, and let's go Steelers.
All right, Bob, thank you. Appreciate that. And that's interesting from a guy who's been running, you know, golf courses. Pikewood National, if you've never been, is a beautiful place. And, of course, Oakmont speaks for itself. I don't know anything about grass, so I'm not gonna comment too much, because I just don't know. I know the people who do know have the answers there, and that sod was redone. So everything should look, you know, good moving forward, and that's the bottom line after what happened a couple of weeks ago. All right, 412-928-9370. We got Jim, Mark, Mike, and Kevin. We'll get to you when we come back. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you hanging on. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
We're back, and I want to dig a little deeper into the Dodgers and what they did to Milwaukee, which was the best team in the National League this year. And I thought they were a really solid team. But they don't have what L.A. has, and that's because they were able to spend almost $600 million more in what they accomplished. So here it is, four games. Blake Snell, he got the start, two-time Cy Young winner. He signs there for $200-plus million. Eight innings, no runs allowed, 10 strikeouts. Then you have Yamamoto, $350 million signing contract. Nine innings, complete game, one run. Tyler Glasnow signs for $125 million. He goes 5 2/3, one run. Shohei Ohtani, $700 million, six innings, no runs. When you add it all up, their starting pitchers against a good Milwaukee team in 28 2/3 innings had an ERA of 0.63. Now back to the situation with James Franklin. As I said, he was on the set with College Game Day. And it was interesting when you listen to this because you could tell that Nick Saban was trying to help him with his own platform, getting another job, all that. I expected that. But they never once did talk about some of the failings in big games. And I think that's a big part of what happened here. So Tim King on Twitter hits me up and says, having coached at Alabama, Nick Saban understands having a job where nothing you do is ever good enough. Nick really had James back because he's been in James' shoes before. I get that. But to be fair, you got to ask about what went wrong. And when you lose back-to-back games to 20 underdog teams, that is a problem, and it's been recurring over the years. So Mark Kronkonko, he tweets in to me at KD Pomp, and he says, so did everyone on that set not ask one thing about what happened in those games? Saban, so like all the media, they speak both sides of their mouth. What is Penn State to do after 10.5, a 10-2 for eternity? Got to try something different. So two different opinions there. But yeah, he was on there, and I'm sure he had guarantees that they weren't going to bring it up, but they should have brought it up. Why wouldn't you bring up what happened in those games? 412-928-9370. Back to the lines we go. We have Jim in Peters Township. Jim, welcome to the program. Go right ahead.
Hey, doing, Bob. I'm going to talk about Shohei Ohtani last night. I mean, I'm 73. The only thing I found close to that was he didn't pitch. Reggie Jackson in the 1977 World Series.
Yes, but he didn't pitch.
He didn't pitch. I know he didn't pitch. It was the first pitch, eighth time, monster home runs. He didn't pitch. That's right. That's the best performance I've ever seen, and I've seen thousands of baseball games because I love baseball. They were calling him a freak of nature. You know, the guy is just incredible. But all the money they put in their team, the pitching, good pitching stops good hitting all the time. And
yeah, the Pirates have that advantage going in. I think they have a lot of good pitching. Now they better figure out they also need hitters, and they scored their share of runs in that. They didn't just shut everybody out. They scored their share of runs also.
Yeah, he hit the one. Ohtani hit the one on the up top on the roof.
On
and
the roof.
Anyone close to that was Willie Stargell.
Hit right.
One. Yeah, I mean that was the most incredible performance I've ever seen in a baseball game. I mean,
thanks.
Nothing.
Thanks, Jim. Okay, yeah, I agree. Sure. That's why I brought it up. Okay. Now, Bob Friend called in and said a couple of golf performances, which I and Will Chamberlain 100 points. I get Jesse Owens. I get, and there are a lot of things you can bring into this conversation. But to me, watching that performance by a guy who threw 6 shutout innings, 10 strikeouts, and then hit 3 home runs, tape measure jobs, the first 2 for sure. I mean, it's just incredible. Back to the lines, we have Mark in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Hello, Mark.
Hey, today calling from Phoenix, Arizona, home of winter, fall.
You're a traveler. Oh, you're going, that's right. You go everywhere. I forgot about you. You're like, you could be our consultant on this program, just giving me updates on guys in winter ball.
Well, I'll tell you, yesterday, Bob, I saw a couple good things happen for the Pirates. One is Tony Blanco hit a ball 460 feet here in Salt River Field, straightaway dead center. And it's a great story, Tony Blanco Jr. His father tragically died in the Dominican this winter when the roof collapsed in the Dominican nightclub. He was one-time big prospect of the Red Sox and coached in the national system. He was a great guy. His father had a pleasure meeting him. And I got a chance to talk to Tony Jr., and this kid is a real nice person. He's very focused. And another guy that the Pirates have to make a tough choice, and I don't think, and he's making the choice a lot easier for them, is Esmelin Valdez, who scouts say has been the best player so far in the fall. Like, it's only a week and a half, but he's also hit 4 home runs. He has to be a Rule 5 player, otherwise the Pirates lose him. So obviously they're going to have to make a move.
Good point.
He was in the Futures game this year, and he finished up real strong in Erie. I definitely think you'll see him some point in the 412 area code next year. And a couple of young pitchers are doing very well in the fall league. One is Derek Diamond, a kid who played at Mississippi College. He's done real well. And Carson Reed, who played with J.J. Weatherholt in Mars at West Virginia, in the Mars area, went to West Virginia, was injured a lot this year, but now seems to be healthy. He also gives the Pirates another pitching option. So I know it's 29 years of losing, but, you know me, the glass is always half full, and I look forward to seeing what's going to happen this winter. Help with Don Kelly aboard. I really like Donnie. I watched him from when he played with the Lakeland Tigers as a kid. And he's, you know, as a local Pittsburgh guy, I do think that's important. I think he understands the milieu of Pittsburgh, the working ethic. He's going to give you every single ounce. I just hope Ben Charrington can make some decent moves to help him. And yep. I think Donnie's going to do a good job there.
Mark, thanks for the update. Appreciate that. Keep us posted on some of these guys. Really do appreciate that. Another guy, you mentioned J.J. Weatherholt, but John Fedko's son, Tyler, is ripping it up in the minors. I hope he gets an opportunity here. The guy's got tremendous bat speed. He's been very consistent, and love to see that for the Fedko family. Let's go to Mike in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Mike, you are on the air right now. Go right ahead.
Hey, Bob. I wanted to talk about the Steelers defense, and it just seems like we just keep going back to this. I mean, since 2017, when Jacksonville, you know, blew our doors off, it seems like the same.
You can go back to that
to
all the way to the Tebow game if you want to.
Yeah, well, but to me, the thing that is recurring is you have undisciplined point of attack at the line of scrimmage and confusion in the middle of the field. I mean, they looked lost. They looked lost Thursday.
I mean, I cannot believe how wide open guys were. And I put on Twitter a shot that I forget where I saw it. It was all over the place, but I just put it up there for my Twitter followers to see if you didn't see it. And that was when the game was 31-30, and they needed a field goal to tie. And there's Ja'Marr Chase with no one around him. 12 yards of wherever he was, there was not one Steeler there. And they were approaching field goal range.
Some of those plays, like there was one particular play that Higgins caught across the slant across the middle.
For the touchdown, you mean?
Yeah, because what it was the running back ran a flare a little to the left, and Queen left the middle of the field to go cover him, and boom, there. Yep. It's just beautifully
drawn.
And
he just takes it in with not much resistance. Mike, thanks. I appreciate the call. I got to go to a break, though. I'm way over, but thank you for calling from Indiana. We have John, we have Bill, we have lots of other people I want to get on to. So we'll try to make that happen when we come back. But we're due for a break, an update here by Logan Arblaster, and we will be back with hour number 2 of the program right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, hour number 2. We've had a line change. Logan Arblaster is out to enjoy the weather, and Joel Nelson is here to take you through the afternoon at 412-928-9370. Hit me up on Twitter at KDPomp, and Joel will get you on the air here shortly I want to remind you that the fan text line is always brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. And fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. If you look outside, you know that the weather is fantastic again. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And that is going to be a high today in the 70s. And a little low tonight in the 40s, and then we have some rain potentially coming into the area tomorrow. In the meantime, we're talking about all things Pittsburgh sports. Penguins in action tonight, trying to make it 4-2 after a come-from-behind win at L.A. the other night. They were down 2-0, came back to win. Good performance there by Arthur Shelovs, I should say. And tonight, I would expect Tristan Jarry to be in net against San Jose. You know what happened with the Steelers. We've been talking a lot about it. Love to hear your take on it, and what does that do moving forward to your outlook on the Pittsburgh Steelers, given the fact that they have Green Bay and the Colts in their next two games. Both of those will be at home. Shohei Ohtani, I thought we saw the best single-game performance in a playoff ever in any sport. When you consider the 3,279 postseason games have been played in baseball since 1903, we have never seen one person pitch six scoreless innings, strike out 10, and then hit three home runs in the same game. Bar none, that is the biggest and best postseason single-game performance in any sport. 412-928-9370. In case you missed it last night, Louisville upset number two Miami, and they did it down in Miami. Carson Beck threw four interceptions. All these quarterbacks we've been raving about in terms of the draft next year, you got to let it play out, and that's why I always say let the season continue to unfold before you make some of these judgments that we all tend to make, and I get it. It's reaction radio, and we're doing a lot of that here. But I'd love to hear from you at 412-928-9370. We're going to begin with John in Pittsburgh, who joins us here on line two. Hello, John.
Yeah, hello, Bob.
What's up, man?
Nothing. I had a couple points. Regarding the best, you know, single performance in a postseason game or solo performance, I think Ohtani for baseball last night was definitely it. But it made me think of TJ Oshie against Russia in the Olympics. In 2014, now his was probably 10 to 15 minutes, but yeah,
that was shootouts, and I didn't like that rule anyway. In that, when they use one guy over and over again, thought it should have moved. You know, I don't know if that's fair, but that's what they used.
Yeah, they did. I don't know. I mean, you can only play by the rules, but that was an incredible performance as well on the biggest stage too. But anyway, about the Steelers, I think that game on Thursday night really mirrored the Patriots game. But I mean, how we started hot. If we didn't force five turnovers against the Patriots, I think it would have went the exact same way. Their offense moved the ball on us and everything else. So that was just
And now if you look at the overall stats, and again, they changed week to week, but this is now a six-game sample size. And the Steelers' defense, despite all the money and all the effort they put into it, you're right, started the first couple of games very shaky. They regained their swagger a little bit in those games against Minnesota and Cleveland, but not so much in this game. Their total defense right now is currently ranked 28th in the NFL. And their pass defense is 31st. So that's obviously not where they want it to be. And they have to figure
not
out
at all.
How, especially against some of the quarterbacks. You know, they've faced an entire slate of backups, so to speak, and now they got guys who aren't going to be backups, and one of them may be one of the hottest guys in the game in Danny Dimes out there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just inexcusable for how much money our defense costs too. It just does not make sense with the athletes we have. I know they're a little older, but still there's just no production.
Yeah, but I also wonder about scheme. It's not just that. I mean, you know, they knew what was going to happen. They knew that the only hope they had was for Joe Flacco to find their top two receivers, and he did over and over again. And that does not have anything to do with the fact that they let Chase Brown rush for 9.8 yards per carry. You know, that's the one thing the Steelers had really taken care of over the last several games, and this game they did not.
Not at all. And they said that before that game, the Bengals were averaging like 58 yards per game total rushing.
That's it.
So it's just so bad. It's sad. But
well, they got to get it together, John. We'll see. That's why they play the games, and we got a lot more coming up.
Good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Let's go out to Greensburg and talk to Jake. Hello, Jake. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
So the only things a couple points I wanted to make, I noticed in the Steelers game was. I couldn't believe how many tackles that Cam Hayward was making like 20 yards down the field. And I don't know. I was just wondering what you thought, if there was a reason for that.
Well, the reason is he never gives up on a play. I mean, he runs, like, you know, for as long as he's been around and everything else, he just never quits on a play. But that goes to show you what they were doing to the Steelers' defense, the fact that he has to run 20 yards to try to make tackles.
Right, right. I just thought the play should have been made before that. But the other 2 points
were... Are you on a motorcycle?
No, sir. No, okay. Come drive.
Okay.
But so with the with all the miscommunication, it just seems like Patrick Queen's always not in position. I don't know why that is. He's looking right, the ball goes behind him to the left. I don't know. I've seen that multiple times, you know, on Thursday.
Yeah, I think by and large, though, he's played better the last several weeks. You know, I just think the secondary, all these new players, the expectations were, well, they got these guys in here who have had experience. They're going to clamp down. Joey Porter Jr. continues to grab a hold of everybody, and you can't do that. You may think you're going to get away with it. I mean, he sticks with guys just because he's decent at doing that. But by grabbing, they're always going to look for that as a defensive back. Now, some of it is strictly hand fighting. You got to let it play through. But he should know that he has that reputation now and people are going to be looking for it.
Right, right. Well, and last point is why are they lining the Washington up out wide as a wide receiver? I mean, I understand he's tall, but, I mean, he's over 300 pounds. That just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know if that's Arthur Smith or it just,
Jake,
I don't know, I hate that.
You can't teach size. And sometimes on those little passes that if you throw it up for him, he's going to win most of those battles. And I think that's why you'll see him more in, you know, red zone goal line situations. But thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. 412-928-9370. We move to Bridgeville. Bill joins us right now. Hey, Bill, what's up? Hello, Bill.
Hello. I'm not from Bridgeville.
Oh, okay. It says Bridgeville here. So where are you from?
Penn Hills.
Okay.
I'm a friend of Richie Wells. But anyway.
Oh, good. Then you know about his golf prowess.
Yeah, and I know about you crashing one of my son's weddings, but it's a different story.
Well, I don't shy away from that. I like crashing weddings. If I'm in a vicinity.
Well, it was fun. We got Richie was supposed to get a picture signed for me, but didn't give it to you yet. But anyway, I'm calling about the Steelers. You know, we have a good coach in Mike Tomlin, but he's not a great one, but he gets paid like one. And it's easy to be complacent. All the money, if I made his money, I'd be complacent all the time. So would you. But anyway, preparation in the NFL is very important. It seems like Mike Tomlin, I made up a word, you could tell Starkey about it. He suffers from mental complacency. He don't even realize he's doing. He just slacks when you're preparing for a team that has a losing record. And so mental complacency sat in week before Thursday. Well, they only had a short week, and that didn't help either.
Well,
I wouldn't be surprised they beat Green Bay and everything, but when you got a team, every year you go back to Tim Tebow, go to the Browns game and the playoff games, the teams weren't ready to play. And
all right, there's a lot of truth to that, but there's also, this is not, and thanks for the call, Bill, in Penn Hills. I can tell you that coming back from some of these long trips that they make, Tomlin doesn't even – he goes – if he sleeps for an hour, that's lucky. They're putting a lot of time and effort in. Now, they may be overthinking it and thinking the wrong way on some of this preparation in terms of strategy. And, yes, you're going to have teams that lose to teams they're not supposed to. It happens every week in the NFL. But it's happened a lot under Mike Tomlin's watch, and that's certainly something that has to stop because it can lead to bad things in terms of playoff seeding if you get there and everything else. But they prepare. It's just maybe they're doing the wrong thing or calling the wrong schemes at the times, overthinking the fact that Joe Flacco's your quarterback. He's still, I would look at it from this way if I were him, is that Joe Flacco's 40. I watched the first couple of games in Cleveland where they ended up benching him, and then he lost his job. Now, you can claim the Browns have just put up the unconditional white flag and are surrendering to what they hope is a top five pick. Fine. But he still looked bad in those games. He threw 6 interceptions in a couple of games. There's a way to get to him. You got to upset his rhythm. That's the only way those veteran quarterbacks, just like Aaron Rodgers, if you come after and get him and upset his rhythm, you know, you're going to have success, I think. When you don't, he's cool under pressure. They know what they're doing. I would have put more pressure on Joe Flacco. By design, I would have come after him with a lot of different blitzes. 412-928-9370. Greg in Youngstown's up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Bob. Here's the thing. This is what a Belichick would have done in that game. He would have double-teamed Chase, taken him out of the game completely. He would have rushed up the center instead of going from the corners, like how Watt's rushing. They got to move Watt around. He's taking such a wide turn on those rushes, and he's lost a step. He's not getting to these quarterbacks. and Flacco just sat there, and him and Highsmith is useless anymore. You got to rush up the center of the field against Flacco, make him have happy feet and throw interceptions. And this defensive coordinator should just be fired for that mistake. You got to take a receiver out of the game, just one of them, and then you rush up the center. And they were refusing to do that. I don't care if this running back had 90 yards. Teams don't want to run the ball. They want to pass the ball. And this is how we lost the game.
Well, it's a combination. Thanks, Greg, for the call. But the part of what you said about pressure on Flacco, to me, is a part that they overlooked. They should have done it more. And, yeah, you have two great receivers there. You pick one. I'm picking Chase. I'll make sure he has everybody on him so he doesn't beat me the way he did. If Higgins is going to get his share of plays because of it, so be it. But I also, again, thought the Steelers invested in Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay to go with Porter, and they, you know, gave Deshaun Elliott a nice deal because they believed in those guys in terms of coverage. I would trust those guys in coverage. If you don't, you know, now you're sitting everybody back in zone. Again, you're giving guys time. It doesn't take, you know, if you're going to give Joe Flacco 6 seconds to find a guy, he's going to find a guy. He's confident enough in his abilities, and he's 40 years old, which means at this point he's just playing for fun, just like Aaron Rodgers. If you throw the ball up, one of those guys is going to make a play, and we've seen that before. But the thing that I didn't like was so many slant patterns. Slant pattern after slant pattern after slant pattern. After a while, you got to expect those are coming over the middle, and they just could not get to those plays. Those two receivers are very good, but you can't let them both beat you, and they both did. 412-928-9370, it's John and Butler, who's on the air right now here at 93.7 The Fan. Hey, John.
Bob, good to talk to you. I hope you're doing well.
You too.
Hey, you touched on it a couple of times. The Steelers' defensive scheme absolutely makes me nuts. Like you said, you can't sit back and play zone defense in the NFL where you're given 10 yards and 12 yards of cushion. Even you and I at this point can drop back on our third step and hit somebody 7 yards down the field accurately 90% of the time. The NFL's not played like that. You watch good defenses, Kansas City, Philadelphia. It is press man, physical at the line of scrimmage to disrupt the timing. Tomlin refuses to do that. The other thing that makes me absolutely nuts, when other teams either go to two tight ends or three receivers, the Steelers go to their nickel package with only two defensive linemen, and for the last 5 years, teams run the ball at will because they just outsize them, and they still don't make an adjustment. Even the Bengals at 50 yards of rushing, what they run, almost 150.
Yeah, they were tripled it.
Whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, and it's going, and that's got to change. I thought they made strides in the last two games. They did. They got better against Minnesota. They were even better against Cleveland. And in this game, you would have thought against the defense, number one offensively, that their defense was terrible. I thought their offensive line was terrible. And I don't care that it's Joe Flacco. They've gone with, you know, yes, he's a step up from Jake Browning, but he's also 40 years old and a guy who has to be disrupted to make go back and look at what he did at Cleveland this year. And he's had some great moments in Cleveland. He certainly had great moments in Indianapolis against the Steelers at their expense. But what got to them was pressure, and you make him uncomfortable to throw the ball, and then he's interception prone. He really is. But in this game, he had 3 touchdowns, no picks, on 47 dropbacks. Now, I would have bet that there would be at least 2 or 3 interceptions on 47 dropbacks, but we never saw that.
And, Bob, let me ask you this, too. Why is it on 3rd and long the Steelers go into a prevent defense and give up long conversions? It seems like 80 or 90% of the time, 3rd and 8, 3rd and higher, and they sit back 15 yards behind the sticks, and they give up that conversion so much.
I think that's a trend, John, that we see for not just the Steelers. If you watch a lot, you'll see a lot of teams do that. They're just trying to keep the ball in front of them. But you can't give that much cushion, you know, and you certainly don't want to go – straight man press, because if somebody does get behind it, then all of a sudden they're going to get the first down and more. I mean, it's just strategies playing chess at times here, but the bottom line is they're making it a little too easy on 3rd down and long situations. And thanks for the call, man. I do appreciate it. 412-928-9370. One more before we go to the break, and we'll go to Joe in Bloomfield. Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Hey, Bob, how are you today?
Doing great. What's going on with you?
I'm fine, thank you. Hey, I just want to get off topic a little bit about the Steelers here and switch gears. Often I hear on your show or other shows on the station defending or suggesting that players are in a contract year. So they, knowing that, they play better because it's a contract year and they're playing for their contract. So what did they do for those first 4 seasons when they were under contract
to their team and getting paid quite well.
Well, that's not to suggest they are. And you still look ahead to a second contract. If you're in the first, second, or third year of a four-year deal, you still have to put up numbers. What I mean, the general thought of playing in a quote contract season is that there's another one out there, and people remember your last year more so than they remember 3 years ago. So if you put up good numbers in your so-called contract season, people are going to react to that very kindly. They will. And they're going to give you more money than you probably think you can get.
Okay, so case in point, this week you guys were discussing Pickens, and I believe you would like to have seen him stick around.
For that very reason, yes.
It was a contract year. Well, George was here for 3 years and was nothing more than a cancer, and I hate to use that word, but was nothing more than a pain in the neck in that locker room, from what I understand, and just some of the
absolutely
things he did on the field publicly.
Joe, you're right.
So he should have been playing those first 3 years. He had a contract.
He did make – he was their best big-time receiver that they've had over those 3 years. Okay, but when you mix that with all the negativity that he brought, that's why they moved him. My only concern was they dealt with that for 3 years. Why not one more year and try to get him at his best? And so far in Dallas, now CD Lamb's coming back this week, so we'll see what he does when CD Lamb gets a lot more targets than probably he would. But, you know, he has been very good. He has 6 touchdown receptions. He's on pace to have like 1,700 yards. I know it's only 6 games. But my theory with him is that I thought he would have checked his ego into the back seat. He would have not brought all the crap he was bringing over 3 years. And for 1 year and 1 year, just only this year, to get a new contract. And I think what I'm seeing is sort of playing out. Now, does that mean he won't just implode at some point and go crazy and have a sideline moment? Absolutely he could. But I'm betting that he won't based on what's at stake for him. That's all.
Okay. Well, I understand. But at the same time, I just get upset with any player that thinks, well, this is my contract year. I really got to put out because I want more money.
No, they're not saying that. I'm observing it that way, Joe. That's what I'm looking at with guys who are in that final year. I think they all are inspired because of what lies ahead. But thanks for the call.
Is anyone beside me disappointed in the play of T.J. Watt?
I think a lot of people are based on, you know, again, you're tied to your contract and you're tied to what are the expectations. But I still think he's pretty active in this game, notwithstanding. He was a non-factor in this game, and there are too many of those.
It goes back to midseason last year, and he's really not been what he was before. I understand age is catching up. But, again, saying that, the man, he sits out about a contract dispute, then perform on the field. You got a raise. You got another raise this year. They keep renegotiating these contracts for these guys, and they're going – Their money might be better spent somewhere else.
All right, Joe. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you for that. But I just think, again, general, to me, it's common sense when you're dealing with guys who are playing for something. And if George Pickens does not play and he turns out to be even more of a problem, then he won't get another deal. But if he puts that in the back burner, comes out and plays good football, which he has so far. And the reason I also thought this was, and I get it, that had to be – and Mike Tomlin is normally good about dealing with some of these players. I thought he'd be able to sustain one more year with this guy. You put him against, on either side, Metcalf and Pickens. They've been looking for a number two for a year and a half, 2 years now. If you look at the numbers, the only guy who has 4 touchdown receptions for the Steelers is Metcalf. Austin and Skoronski are the only two who've also had 2 and 1, so 3 total. They still need something from a number two receiver. And I thought because of that general talk that was out there, because of the Steelers still showing that they were looking, I thought this would have been a good reason for him. Now, there are those who say when Metcalf got here and he got the $150 million, that Pickens would have soured up and know that but he still would have been motivated to have a good year. Because if he's here, even if DK Metcalf is getting all the targets, he should look at it, you know, smartly and say, I'm still going to benefit because he's going to get double teamed. I should get my share of action, which means numbers should continue to swell, which would make him a more viable option in free agency for someone else to deal with. And I would not have signed him to a long-term deal, just for the record. I was just banking on 1 year and that's it. He's going to have the same situation down there with CD Lamb, who gets most of the targets. But even in the early games when CD Lamb did, he had his share of targets. Anyway, too much on that topic. I got to take a break. We have Donnie, we have Neil, we have more calls on the way until 1 o'clock when Paul Alexander takes the reins. Up into our Pitt Panther preview show coming at you at 4:30 today. Pitt and Syracuse tonight at 7:30. And we'll see what Penn State does. They got Iowa, they got Ohio State and Indiana. I played that what-if game. What if Terry Smith re-energizes this team with a backup quarterback and wins two of those three? Again, what if? I don't expect it to happen. What if it does? 412-928-9370 right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. With Joel Nelson behind the glass on a beautiful Saturday here in Pittsburgh, Bob Pompiani with you until 1 o'clock, and then it's Paul Alexander throughout the course of the afternoon. Tonight we have Pitt and Syracuse, a game that Pitt is favored by 9.5 points. Syracuse is not a good football team. They've lost some key players. Pitt should win that game. And if they do, do you think they have a case here in the ACC, which saw last night Miami, the number two ranked team in the country, lose at home to Louisville? Carson Beck intercepted 4 times. Love to hear your takes on that. And I played the what-if game. I'm just curious, what if? What if Terry Smith comes out, and I was just talking to Paul Alexander, who knows a lot about Penn State football. What if they win tonight? Let's just say that they go into Iowa. And Iowa has beaten some very good Penn State teams over the years. So I'm not going to suggest that given everything that's happened that I would expect them to win, but what if they do? So they lose back-to-back games to teams that were 20-point underdogs, and they go to Iowa, typically tough place to play, and they win. And then, next two, you got Ohio State and Indiana, both top-ranked. They're going to probably be 1-2. Let's say you win one of those. And again, I don't expect this to happen, but just for the sake of argument and the what-if game we play here, what if it does? I think he should be strongly considered for the head coaching job. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Let's go to Johnny in Squirrel Hill. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Pomp. How you doing, man? Great to talk with you. You're a legend here in Pittsburgh, man, so I appreciate talking
I appreciate
with
you calling. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I agree with you on Terry Smith. I like Terry Smith a lot. He's a great recruiter. I don't think he'll get the chance, but, I mean, they're only on 3-point underdogs tonight.
Yes, they are.
So there is a chance. I don't think they're going to be Ohio State, but Indiana, they could upset Indiana. Who knows? But the reality of it, Bob, is I never saw this year as the end-all, be-all because I never trusted Drew Aller. You go back to that Notre Dame game. I mean, I never believed in Aller, so I never saw this as, like, this was the year. It had to happen or it's never going to happen. And, I mean, great for you for talking about, you know, Franken's up on ESPN with Saban and those guys. You know, I don't know where he's going to end up, but I don't want Matt Rhule. I really don't. I think he's a boring hire. Perhaps Campbell out of Iowa State might be a better option. What do you think?
I think, first of all, Matt Rhule last night showed, I don't know if the distractions got to them, his team, but they just laid an egg. And that was against Minnesota, I believe. So, I look at his resume and I just can't get over the fact that he's had worse numbers at times than James Franklin has in big games. So I don't know how Penn State can do that. Right, if that's your criticism that you have not gotten to the next level, the next level should be winning a championship, right? They leave you no room to spare.
Well, it is.
And Matt Rhule is not going. I don't think he's going to do it.
But my number one choice would obviously be Urban Meyer, but he doesn't need the headache. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. Or a professional. I mean, you see what Ohio State did. I mean, this is how smart they are. They went out and got Matt Patricia to coach the defense. Matt Patricia. He wasn't a great head coach, but he's the head coach of the NFL. I mean, they got Chip Kelly, guys like that. So Ohio State is just – their thinking is just so much, you know, more intelligent than Penn State. So it's just disappointing. But I'm afraid we're going to get Rhule because of his connection with Kraft.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, and I think that would be the wrong choice. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. And Ohio State did – it's funny how this goes, though. Last year at this time, as they were heading into the second half of their season – they lost to Michigan, and man, the people came out in droves. They wanted Ryan Day to be fired, and he came close to being fired. You know, that's how crazy this can get, despite all the success that these programs have had. It's tough to win, man. It really is. And I don't know that every single evaluation should be on whether or not you win a national championship. You've got to get a program that is knocking on the door every year. And you can argue with James Franklin. They did that. He's an outstanding recruiter. His game day management was not very good. And ultimately, and to your point about Drew Aller, I think he is, and I'm talking about James Franklin, had too conservative of play calling. It was about, you know, risk averse, not making mistakes. I'd rather have a kid who's going to just rip it down the field. And don't worry about that. Yeah, I know you, and you stress you don't want to make mistakes. But if there's a throw to be made, and you believe, and you're confident enough to make the throw. Whatever happens after that, happens after that. I thought they were a little too conservative with how they utilized him. We'll see what happens. Now, he went through successful surgery. He'll be available for the draft. I don't know what that does to his draft status. We'll find out as time goes on. Let's go to Neil in Coriopolis. Joins us here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Neil, what's up?
Hey, Pomp. Hey, so I was listening on Odyssey running it back, and then I said, I got to give Pomp a call because you were talking about Ohtani, then the Steelers. So someone might have brought this up, but I'm not sure. When the Steelers play a team, we've seen this before, not only with running, but like with passing. Remember they passed the Keenan Allen all those times at one time.
Oh, in the middle of the field.
Years ago.
Yes.
And remember in 07, this is all under Tomlin, in 07 when the Patriots threw 35 straight times and we were all like, what, why, they're just, you know, and then Flacco with that RPO, and he kept it. I feel like that was like, let me just rub it in their face because they have no clue what we're going to do right now.
Wow, that play more specifically. Man. I first of all, I'm going to credit them for the play call and his execution. Yeah. I don't think anyone expected that call.
No,
right? Did you?
I didn't. But, no, nobody did. And I was just at that point, I'm just laughing because we can't stop, you know, a wet paper bag at that point. And so. I just think that they need to somehow adjust in game. And it's almost like, I don't know if our players, our defense is watching film. Like, you should be able to study a guy like Flacco that's played for so long. And it's like they refuse. The stubbornness really becomes your Achilles heel when you refuse to change your game plan. It's like, I thought they would come out of second half. Well, I was hoping. I didn't think they would because I know that Tomlin does not do that. It's like we ran out of bullets or we ran out of this or we couldn't do that. We didn't have the personnel. There's always an excuse instead of just adjusting. So many teams adjust. I mean, I coach like peewee basketball, and if man's not working, we're going to switch to zone. You know, and if it, you got to do something.
Yeah, I didn't think they adjusted well. They made several different uses of zone, but to me, that's not an adjustment because you're basically just coming out with the same approach, which is not to pressure the quarterback, or at least.
Yeah.
If you're counting on two or three guys and that's it, you're going to be – I don't care how bad Cincinnati's offensive line is, they're going to win that battle. You got to come at them with different looks and different kind of blitzes from all over.
And so many people with Watt, you know, I hear that Watt doesn't want to move around. It's like, you play for me, you need to move where we want you to move. It's like, you keep doing the same thing. You either fake outside and then you go inside. You do your spin sometimes. It's just you're going, like that guy said earlier, you're going too wide. It's like switch him around, put him up the middle, do something. I mean, you gotta change something. We can't keep doing the same things over and over again.
Thanks. And they appreciate that. Welcome. That's one of our things that we do with Joe and Austin. Here we are doing the same things over and over again. And you'll hear that clip if you listen to the show middays 10 to 2. Let's go to Glenn in Greene County. Glenn, what's going on out there in Greene County where things are still green? They should be changing leaves, and it's not so much.
Well, it's changing a good bit. But, hey, I want to mention, and you know what? I thought that it seems like the college coaches need to take a note from what's happening in the NFL. You got to change the way your players are, especially with the NIL. These kids think they're something right off the bat, you know, and you got to be able to adjust and recruit them guys and also be able to handle them for 2-3 years while they're playing.
Well, you may not even be guaranteed, Glenn, that you're going to get them for 2 or 3 years, because if they have a good year, then someone's going to come in and make an offer to them, and you have to re-recruit them. It's a very difficult time.
I think it's evolving similar to the NFL. Is like these players, it just has to – you got to get guys that are better at doing that and working with them kids. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I couldn't believe that the defense for the Steelers couldn't jump the routes that he was doing. Why not, if you were taking the chances you were taking with Chase, why the hell weren't you jumping the routes?
Well, again, it's a philosophy kind of thing. Glenn, thanks for the call. I just thought the whole approach there was not the right approach for that team. And I know the quarterback was better than Browning was. I know Flacco has that, but he didn't have a whole lot of time to consume that game plan, the terminology that comes with it, their playbook, and do anything. But yet, in that game against Green Bay, if you watched it, for the first half, they didn't do much. It took him a long time, and they did a good job shutting down Chase and Higgins in that game. Second half, things started to warm up a bit, but they still lost and generated just 18 points. I thought they would be, you know, still struggling with those same issues, but the Steelers did not force that, and as a result, they paid it. One more call here, Joel, before we go to break, and that would be Big Al and Robinson. You're on, Big Al. What's new?
Hey, Bob, I guess you earned that $500,000 salary morning, noon, and night. Hey, Bob, Nobody ever mentioned Harvey Hanks, 13 innings. You ever see that before?
Yeah, we talked about that a few weeks ago, Al, and that's tremendous. And honestly, he should be credited. I don't know if he ever was, though. He should be credited with a perfect game because that was designed for 9 innings, not 13.
Hey, yeah, and Bob, one other thing I saw. I was a senior and you were born. I'll be 82. But at Gale Sayers against the Steelers, ran a 105-yard kickoff return. They called it back. He ran 102 the other side. I never saw it before.
Oh, Al, your experience is good. You're showing us what you got that experience. I appreciate that call, man. I hope you're doing well. You're looking good.
Bob, one other thing. Otani, one thing I would do, I wouldn't even pitch to the guy. Why don't they just walk him? Why do they pitch to the guy?
Well, because they have Betts, Freeman, and a whole bunch of other guys who can, you know, if I would pitch to him, I would pitch very carefully to him. I would not allow him to hit pitches that he's looking for, and I think last night he was looking, and he guessed right.
Just wave him down to first.
All right. That could be a strategy.
You earn your salary, bud. That $500,000, you
do
good.
And that's not like that. I wish you knew what that was. But thanks, Al. You can negotiate the next deal for me. Appreciate it. All right, man, we got to take a break. We have Max in Westford. Matt, hang on. We'll get to you after we take a quick break and an update from Joel Nelson. It's the Bob Pompeiani Show right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Rolling right along here. Paul Alexander will take the microphone at 1 o'clock. He'll be on until 4:30 when we re-greet you with Pitt and the preview show with Syracuse coming up tonight at 7:30. We start at 4:30. Doran Dickerson will join me along with Johnny Patrician as we get you set for that game. And Pitt, with some renewed life, some renewed optimism with their true freshman quarterback who's done such a great job, Mason Heinschel. 412-928-9370. I want to tell you that the Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's beautiful outside. Expect highs in the low 70s, lows in the 40s. Rain moves in tomorrow. And right now, Matt is moving in. He joins us in Wexford right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. What's up, Matt?
Yeah, hi, Bob. Maybe I'm trying to connect the dots and that's not going to make a picture, except that I'm interested in the Penn State selection coach selection for their new coach. I thought I read in the paper last week that the 5 or 6 kids from the WPIL all decommitted except for the quarterback from Fort Cherry,
Matt Sieg. Yes,
and they mentioned that their representative or their agent was Justin King. Justin King is Terry Smith's son. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering how much that factors into the selection if, in fact, Smith is not selected as the coach, just how much the influence that Justin King will have in telling his the kids that he represents that maybe they ought to find another place.
Well, you know, I don't know about that situation and how much he controls of what they want to do. I do know that every year becomes a year-to-year proposition with these guys. They decommitted because they could, and they're going to get different offers from different teams. Now, some of them may still come back to Penn State depending on what happens.
They all had offers to begin with.
I know that, but they're going to get probably bigger offers. When you see coaches swoop in, when they sense an opportunity to steal, buddy, that price goes up. It's a give-and-take game. Matt Sieg is, I think he's going to maybe explore options, but he said he's still on track to sign here at Penn State. So, I mean, I remember just last week, he had an unbelievable, I think it was against Bishop Canavan too. They beat him 59-19. He had 270 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns, a 55-yard punt return, and an 86-yard pick 6. Talent, all these guys are talented, so therefore they're going to get their share of takes from whoever it is. But I ask, before it ever comes to that, Terry Smith would have to first get a job here. And I'm asking you, if they should somehow win at Iowa tonight and then win in the next two, one of the next two against Ohio State and Indiana, one of the two, would he be in line to become that head coach? Would they trust enough from what they've seen so that they don't have to go anywhere else? The answer might be right under their noses.
Well, that certainly moves them up the ladder, that's for sure. I suppose the influence that his son would have over the kids that decommitted might in fact fall in his favor.
Yeah, you know, the problem, and thanks, Matt, for the call, with all these speculations, you saw what happened to Kurt Cignetti. He signed last year for $4.5 million a year in Indiana. They had a very good year. They ponied up for him. And because of all this speculation, what Penn State might be looking at Kurt Cignetti, number one, it's a tough time to do it. You're right in the middle of a season. They have a playoff. They're ranked 3rd in the country. They have a high list of priorities of what they want to get done this year. But it didn't stop them immediately for saying, all right, we're going to rip up that contract we just gave you. The ink is still not dry on it, and we're going to give you a new one for $93 million, $11.5 million a year. And if you're sick, now you got to say, absolutely, thank you very much, and I'm not going anywhere. Why would he? There are a lot of coaches like that who have deals right now. By the end of this, and again, this season could draw out, and whoever is the new head coach down the road is going to be behind the eight ball. Because you got to do a whole bunch of work here. You're going to lose out on some recruiting opportunities, transfer portals. Guys may decide to go someplace else before they decide to come to you if it's so late in the proceedings. So Penn State's in a bad situation from that point of view right now. But that's something they created by firing James Franklin, and they just got tired of being where they were, which was a good program, on the rise, always in the top 25, mostly in the top 10, but they couldn't get it done at the highest level. And I think the fact that they lost those two games back-to-back as 20-point favorites just was the nail in the coffin there for James Franklin. So we'll see how this goes, but Terry Smith has an opportunity, certainly. They are going to Iowa, where they're not favored in this game. Iowa is typically a very difficult place to play, especially for Penn State over the years. They've won some games, but they've also lost one. Then they have Ohio State there, and then Indiana at home. And this will be interesting to see if he can, you know, take a team that had back-to-back losses to 20-point underdogs, you know, re-energize them, and they win a game tonight in Iowa. And all of a sudden people say, wow, that's a pretty good job by Terry Smith. And then they pull one of two upsets in the next 2 weeks. I think it'd be hard not to look at Terry Smith as a legitimate candidate. Once again, last night, in case you missed it, Shohei Ohtani with what I thought is the best single-game playoff performance in sports history. And yes, I know there are a lot of other things that would rise to that level, but nothing can be better than a guy who since 1903, when they start keeping track, 3,279 postseason games. You've never seen a guy throw six scoreless, strike out 10, and hit three prodigious home runs. And that's what he did. That's better than anything I've ever seen. And that guy already has made the $700 million back that the Dodgers gave him in deferred payments. So he's already made that back to the Dodgers in terms of global marketing, media, some of the sales of his jersey in Japan and all over the world. The thing I liked about him, too, is last night, you know, he starts every game when he shows up at bat by tipping his hat to the other team, specifically the manager of that team. Very, very tremendous show of sportsmanship, I think. But last night when he received the National League Series MVP, he took it. He just bowed his head in thank you as appreciation. No showboating there at all for that guy. He's a tremendous dude on the field, I think. And, boy, he leads the way. And that pitching staff is going to be tough to deal with whoever wins Seattle and Toronto. Penguins tonight in action. They'll take on San Jose, looking to make it 4-2 after a come-from-behind win against the L.A. Kings the other night. They were down 2-0 in that game and came back to win it. Good shorthanded goal there by Philip Hollander. That was the difference of this game, set up by Rickard Rakell. Crosby added a goal in that game as well. So did Malkin. Penguins look to get 4-2 tonight. Lots of good college football on tap for today. Join us tonight on KDK Sports. We'll have a recap for you on television. And we'll see you again tomorrow night when we do it all for the number one Cochran Sports Showdown. But that's going to do it for me. Thanks to Joel Nelson behind the glass here. Coming up, it's Paul Alexander. Later today, Pitt Syracuse right here on your home for Panther Sports at Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Have a great day, everyone.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before, T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.